was found. He was raised. He lived to a ripe old age until various other things sort of intervened in his life. So, exposing babies in antiquity is certainly not a practice I would want to recommend, certainly not one that we would wish to praise, but it was not the same thing as killing unwanted children. All right. So babies were inspected, and if they seemed healthy, they were returned to their parents until the age of 7. At the age of 7, boys were enrolled in military brotherhoods, to which they belonged for the rest of their lives. In a sense, you were sort of put in a military unit, and you now were a member of that unit for the rest of your life. From 7 to 18, they underwent rigorous physical and military training. Then, as I mentioned a moment ago, from 18 to 20, many of them, not all, but many of them served at least a brief period of time in the Secret Service. They then entered a regular army unit and remained a member of that unit to the age of 60. Now, there were exceptions made if a person were wounded, if a person were physically impaired as life went along. But you could, in principle, have to serve actively in the field to the age of 60. Marriage at Sparta was not companionate. It was not co-residential. That is to say, husbands and wives, generally speaking, didn't live together. Men lived with their military units. Marriage at Sparta had one fundamental purpose: to make more equals. That was the purpose of marriage at Sparta. And that means, of course, that the institution didn't generate family ties, family loyalties, bonds of family affection, and so on, as we might expect to see in other societies. The system was designed to create military excellence. It was designed to create discipline. It was designed to create loyalty. It was designed to create a group of equals with very powerful bonds to one another and very powerful bonds to Sparta. Spartan life was austere and very simple. Archaeology, for example, does not show us great elaborate housing complexes. The Spartans lived very simply. Men lived in barracks, basically. They ate very simple food. They prided themselves on their simplicity. They prided themselves on not being gabby and talking too much. Their land is called Laconia. What does laconic mean? It means you don't have much to say. It means you don't have much to say. And in much Greek literature, there are wonderful stories about Spartans who didn't have much to say. The Spartans didn't like book learning. Now, there's a very interesting point here, a notion that recurs quite a number of times in Western civilization, amongst other peoples and in other places. There was a notion that book learning made men effeminate. It weakened them. It softened them. Now, there is a wonderful irony there, because if it was thought to be the case that book learning made men effeminate, that sort of implies, doesn't it, that lots of women read a lot of books, and then somehow that this was a characteristic of females? And yet, in most of these societies, women were actually denied opportunities to acquire a lot of book learning. Prejudices get built in very, very funny ways and then operate in very funny ways. But there is the notion, remember we talked about the struggle between brains and brawn? That if you got too much brains, you don't have enough brawn. And at Sparta, you want brawn. So, enough with the brain stuff. Spartans used iron money in big bars of small denomination. The whole point of this was to avoid hoarding, to avoid accumulating. What do you want money for? Now, the Spartan system, as I've suggested a couple of times, was designed fundamentally to hold the helots in check. Now, without the labor of the helots, the Spartan system simply would not have worked. How would all of these men have been in military service, in effect, from the age of 7 to the age of 60? If they had to work in the fields or carry out other pursuits. So the helots made Spartan life possible. Now, of course, the Spartans' idea was that this gave them the freedom to ward off attack, to ward off invasion, to keep foes at bay. By about 550, the Spartans had pulled most of the cities of the Peloponnesus, southern Greece, southernmost Greece, together into the Peloponnesian League. Now, this was not kind of a Spartan version of the United Nations. The members of the Peloponnesian League were under absolutely no circumstances Sparta's equals. Sparta basically dictated to the Peloponnesian League what its plans would be, what its policies would be. Essentially, Sparta exercised some control over the constitutions of member states. The Spartans did not want democratic regimes. They thought that they were too unstable, too tumultuous, and they wanted to control